Stephanie Brea, everybody. She's awesome. I work too much. She works too much. I miss our happy hours on Monday. A poem from The Ugly Side of the Lake, which I wrote with John fucking Dorsey, who just destroyed the room. Thank you, John. This is called A Postcard from Bell, Missouri. In a room that straddles the county line, with a water tower overhead pronouncing the name of the town for travelers coming north-south on Route 28, two beagles chase each other across yards, under sheds, shrill barks at the wind. The Boo Radley house at the corner of 3rd, with its roof collapsed into a wide open grin. The sidewalk starts at the Catholic church, the parishioners just leaving, imbued in Sunday morning light. The Baptist church, parishioners just arriving, the multicolored truck, no muffler, passing once, passing twice, each time the driver waves. The garage door collapsed on itself, boarded back up, plywood to fill the gaps. The fire plug beckoning from some time in the 60s. The old oak tree lording over the vacant corner lot, waving from another era. The screen door, house number 410, blowing in the morning wind. The livestock auction barn that dominates the corner of 4th and Alvarado. The car wash that stares back. The patrons in the cafe downing coffee, biscuits, and gravy. The sign on the pool hall door, no weapons allowed in the pool hall. The bakery long since closed, the auto garage that caught fire, the carbon-stained door locked not open in years. The woman smoking a cigarette, bitching out a man in camo and a ball hat. She quiets as we pass. He makes eye contact and sheepishly nods. Thank you, Vanessa. You were awesome tonight. I really appreciated your set. We'll do this again soon. This is called For the Beloved Dead of Delaware. Most of these will be from the new book or from the other new book. So there's one new poem after that. This is really fucking simple. Anyway, For the Beloved Dead of Delaware. That nearly full moon, those stars, the clouds wave over the sky, over the ocean. I got lost freezing, my mind grabbing this image, transposing it to Van Gogh's Starry Night over the Rhone. Vincent, in your paintings, I see every atom, every vibration, all the spaces between matter in the coarse simplicity of a brushstroke. You saw too much of the world. I see too much of the world. Tonight, all this useless beauty is too goddamn much. I park myself in a bar and try and wring the noise out of the world, a tolerable level to sleep, a tolerable change in the weather. I greet sunrise anticlimactic. On the dunes, I run into a woman who says the clouds won this one. Today, north and west roads will get me home, although I don't know in which order I pick at random. Today, the silhouette of blackbirds drain from one tree and then another. Today, raptors police the sky. Today, every church is one room full, quaint, maybe a steeple to reach for the sky. And I want to stop. I want to look in. I want to listen to the flat note hymns. I want to hear some homily about wrapping the new year in Jesus. The cemeteries here are frozen, still in the same way they were consecrated. Further proof, all we leave this world with is a stone and a bag of bones. If you have friends in Cleveland, Victor, John, and I will be in Cleveland at Visible Voice tomorrow night. This poem is about Cleveland, and it's called Cielito Lindo, which means beautiful stars, beautiful heaven, or beautiful sweetheart, and it's for a Kansas poet named Jose Faust. Jose tells us about a beach in Mexico. Between Christmas and New Year's, it's virtually empty, except for villagers from the mountains who come down and live in shanties and fish. There's a few tourists, Germans, mostly, a few Americans. And there are bonfires as shacks burn on New Year's. The Germans sing O Tannenbaum as a chorus, and the Mexicans sing Cielito Lindo as a chorus, and the Americans shuffle and look at their feet with no song or celebration in their hearts. This beach is known for sea turtles who come to lay their eggs. You sit and you can watch them head back to the sea. And when those eggs hatch, you can watch their young head to the sea. Thousands of tiny turtles slowly crawling to the sea. Tonight we're in Cleveland, Ohio, Jose. After reading an RA's house with all its energy, walking State Road through the Ukrainian village, with a Russian and a Polish village nearby, with beautiful gold leaf domes rising to glow in city darkness, with icons that celebrate some ceremony, but we don't understand. But for fuck's sake, of course we understand, because we are human. There is no bar open on a Sunday night. You and me and Silsby, we trail after neon parched. We crawl back to George Avenue like turtles, wait on strong drink, herbal refreshment, and burrows. We tell stories celebrating life and improbability, loitering around the Calavan, the eyes of Leda upon us, hoping the neighbors won't care enough to call the cops. Thank you, Victor, too. You did a fantastic job tonight. Every one of Victor's books gets so much. I mean, not that they weren't good in the first place, but they just keep knocking the last book on its ass. Victor's a hell of a poet, and I hope you buy some of his books tonight. This is a poem about the Danish actress Anna Karina. I believe this is based off the movie Made in the USA by Jean-Luc Godard. Not sure, though. She's a cartoon. She twirls a six-shooter in powder-burned hands that rifle through dead man's pockets, finding only toothbrush and paste. They share similar legacies. She sings as tears go by as a suburban typewriter, realizes sentences are useless, the floor stubbed out a cigarette. This is why Marlon Brando looks desperate. She's the devil that occupies second-rate lonely tragedies, the right to remain silent. She loads a gun, a parrot reads a newspaper, the telephone waits on a gunfight. There is no mystery. The South Pole ran off with a bartender. She is the color of time, forever elsewhere in the mirror, a window not much older than rock and roll, clear without desire. She is a war that is never over. She is a cross-country audience, a sailboat, a miniskirt, so cruel, so obsolete, her real name a mystery of handcuffed influence. She is a dress drenched in blood, disturbed silence. She turns beautiful to smoke. She marks time occasionally, exquisite as Jack Ruby. Back to the ugly side of the lake. This is a poem called The Glory Hole. Yeah, it's a real place. John and I were there. We wrote this about my first day of my residency, by the way. We each did six poems at his behest. Next thing you know, they became a book. Dreams do come true, kids, right? All right. At the intersection of a road that leads to Climax Springs and a road that leads to Hurricane Deck, we spy the glory hole next to Tres Hombres near the pontoon graveyard. And it's like fucking Where's Waldo in here. Can you recognize every mention of the word glory hole as ceiling fans swirl smoke around? 2 1/4 gets you a Bud Light draft frosted mug, and 20 an hour will get your boat a designated driver. Watch that cigarette burn in the ashtray on the sink for the better part of a millennium, as one man, overjoyed at being drunk, plays the Dropkick Murphys song, insists we all sing along. He pumps his fist as a prompt to the bar as the chorus comes in, "Kiss me, I'm shit-faced!" Thank you, Nikki, for coming in from Ohio. Thank you for braving this on a bum ankle, too. Jeez. That was a really great set. And this next poem is for John Dorsey. It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. It's a Greensburg poem. Get ready, folks. I watch Paternity Court in the Rialto. Wait out the afternoon, and there's a girl, 4 or 5, hiding among the bar stools. Every now and again, she jumps up at someone and yells, "Boo!" I'm sure not much has changed since you read at the teatro. Somewhere there are still underage ghosts hoping to be served. Pittsburgh Street still runs east-west. Cosmic bowling still brings them out. And when they get old enough, maybe they graduate to the head keeper. You said this is a drifter's town, and I believe you. This is the furthest isosceles angle of Pennsylvania's own Bermuda Triangle. It seems everything here disappears. I haven't seen or heard of Bigfoot. Instead, I wade in post-industrial debris, watch all the beaten faces barely flicker with emotions. The only building drawing a crowd is the Behavioral Health Center. You know, John, lately I feel like I'm being haunted by Van Gogh. Today, I may be in the Potato Eaters. The woman who just waited on me, the blood vessels had burst behind her right eye. She's telling someone that she's old and tired and had enough. And I hear it's your birthday, brother. Nowadays, it seems that each plume of smoke is 20 years or 40 years, and somehow the time flows until it's time once again to kick out the crypt doors screaming. It's time to bleed out another year, squeeze everything you can out of twilight. It's all coming, brother. It's all light speed. Thank you, John. Since John Dowling just dropped me off a beer, and I appreciate that, I have to give him thanks for the cover art to This Useless Beauty. John does great covers. He's done most of my covers over the years. There's a few exceptions. The Ugly Side of the Lake was actually done by Erie poet Matt Borzon, who is an amazing poet you should check out. And the dumplings are coming up after pond hockey plays, which is happening soon. After I get off this stage, after you stop hearing me be a loud windbag. This is called Payphone Hymnals. I found the last working payphone outside a gas station somewhere near Chillicothe, Ohio. I stood in the booth a minute, phone book gone, push buttons, coin slots scarred. It still smelled like time had stopped. And I thought about calling you, even though I don't remember the last time we spoke. I wanted to remind you of that night I called from a payphone outside an abandoned donut shop in the parking lot of a motel in Memphis. How I gave you my room phone as the cop cars rolled in five deep, lights flashing. I may have used the drug phone. I slid back to my room, waited on you to call back, and when you did, I cradled the receiver, stretched the cord to the window, stared through cracks in the curtains, watched the cops drag a man with a bleeding head and cuffs and boxers out of the room next to me. I didn't tell you what was happening. You were lonely. I wanted you to believe I was, and everything was safe. Somewhere in here is the next poem. There it is. It's called 413 Beethoven. We'll send this one out to Steve Pellegrino. Across walkboards to the slop sink, the guy digging out the sewer line yells, "Watch out, we found needles in there." And I turn the water on, look in the other basin. Candy bar wrappers, hangers, coffee cans, a pair of shorts, a burnt spoon, other debris. I look up, plastic Christ on the cross leans on the seam in the window. Paul Newman once said, "Nothing is a real cool hand." I look out the window, feel the outside air blow cold from an open dryer vent. The wound in white Jesus' side glows red, his head down. I can't see his eyes to know if he's lost. And next up is Oscar's Diner. The elderly couple creak out of their sport utility vehicle and ask if this is a good place to eat. We honestly don't know. Lost in the 50s, classic American diner, chrome-plated style, the prettiest girl in Jefferson City is hostess. She stops dead teenage boys. A wake of bodies follows her. Our waitress is a hummingbird weighed down by a four-barrel stainless steel coin changer. She wears failure, smeared eyeshadow and mashed potatoes, takes her lumps hard. Dorsey does his best to console her. He reminds her there is no wrong answer when it comes to a choice of gravy. I gotta thank the Pond Hockey boys, Bob Paycheck, Scott Silsby, Mark Mangini. We're gonna play in a little bit after I finish reading. I love those guys a lot, and they should know it. What was that, Don? Oh, yeah, well, I'll be over there after I finish fucking reading, and you can buy a book off me, okay? It's simple. This is how it goes. I may even sign it. I fucking hate signing books, but I'll do it for you. I love you. This next poem is for Andrei Tarkovsky. Sorry that I'm a pretentious fuck. You're right. It's called Solaris. I sit watching fall forever. Watch leaves fall forever, one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. And sometimes it rains, and sometimes it rains forever. Colloidal, viscous rain. And I think in terms of video, how our mind films clouds, how there's always a horse, these expressions and images, the ocean, the influence of our thoughts. Everything in our lives is anachronistic. Our futures remember to keep time in order. The past, a ladder that swallows its own tail. A hive mind. We are connected to a hive mind. We feed its ocean with our thoughts. We build realities in banal nonsense and imaginings of ourselves. There is no big reveal. I found the edge of time sitting on my tongue, and I sat there and I burned the remnants of myself. They say you always remember your first look at space. I always remember looking at the ocean, and I wonder if the ocean is happy. I wonder about the hive mind agitated by fear. I wonder if we get the same nervous taste simultaneously. I wonder if we took a poll of our fears, if we all weren't experiencing the same things, but we ran out of words. So we edited ourselves. We edited time, cut in all the little nostalgic portraits, all the happy memories of being human, ocean, horse, or hive. Throw out your suicides. These are generations that see the end, but they never die. Our time is built on, but cannot stomach, its own resurrection. Thanks to Carolyn, our sound lady, and Dan, our bartender. And be sure you tip your bartender. It's a wonderful thing to do. He would appreciate it. I would appreciate it. And thanks to Kristen for working the door. So, yeah, clap for the door. This next poem is called Ever After. My head feels like the victim after a few cans of High Life and a night in a smoking bar. High Life is champagne for working class kings and queens, best served in bottles, not cans, where fluid royalty is tainted by aluminium. I have a crush on the High Life girl. I spent many a night over the moon pitching woo from a nearby cloud. Every time I'm in Milwaukee, I drive by the brewery and I want to stop. I want to break in. I know there's still a room in there where it's 1911 and everything looks like a film by Melies. I'll offer her my hand. She'll blush. She always does. Blink twice, beaming, then say yes. We'll disappear into stars, hungover, ever after. I have two more poems for you. This is called We Own the Night. It's for Renee Alberts. And if I can throw a brief plug in, September 2nd, which is a Sunday night, I will be here, Renee Alberts will be here, Don Wentworth will be here, and Carla Lamb. We will be reading. So come on out for that if you get a chance. All right, We Own the Night. I was in a Walmart in Moundsville, West Virginia, because clean restrooms on the road are a must. And that's when you texted me you went nuclear. Hell, I've known you 15 years. You've always been fierce, but I knew the life you chose didn't sit with you. You texted tonight, I'm leaving town. Sorry I missed you until now. Can we meet later? A question sits on the bar. How can you love people who don't love themselves? We shoot bullet, and you walk me through walking out of your life. That moment on the beach staring off into the Pacific, you realized you were living someone else's life. The moment you didn't know why. Was it what they told you you should want? Was it only for security? I've had that moment many times, staring at the Pacific, at the Atlantic, on the Gulf of Mexico, at sunrise and sunset on Lake Champlain, almost 20 years apart. I've had that moment in many other places. It's a hard moment. These are difficult questions, but questions to be proud of, questions with no easy answers. We raise time tonight, try and squeeze everything into that last physical conversation. We talk about freedom. We talk about letting go. We talk about isolating the noise that holds us in place and how in that isolation it may be possible to find what you actually need. And then we talk more about freedom. We own the night tonight with all its useless beauty as Sunday sleepers fog through dreams of their disaster lives. And I drive you back to your folks. You're full of what it all means. And I've never seen you more confident, more beautiful than when you walked away. New shit. This is called A Threadbare Universe. This is my last poem. Thank you all so much for coming out tonight. I really appreciate every single one of you. Give yourself a round of applause, please. We were talking about death, life, and change. And I said it's those moments where the universe feels threadbare. And I sat there with that, trying to decide if I just hit on a metaphor of substance or if I was just stoned. Really, though, I didn't know how to explain it, so I told that story that I've written about in less specific terms. I was 20 then, driving all night with dead sleep friends trying not to kill us and myself, winding through the Adirondacks like something about this mattered. We had no money, no concept. JB wanted to be Kerouac, and maybe that was simple enough. As I wheeled around Champlain, I came up on the bluff on 2. It was sometime after 6. The sun made it over the horizon to blind my rear view. Breathless, I parked the car immediately in the middle of a sleepy Sunday, July street, walked down to the water, stared, bathed in sunrise, completely alone. And it was the first moment of my adult life when the universe seemed threadbare, when there was no depth, no complex lives, just a moment. A breath drawn, held, and exhaled. Just a moment overwhelming where everything is. When this short life of trouble or this long walk through time ends, when the corporeal self is ash, to my friends, please take the box of what's left of me back to that shore on some July morning. If I have money, it's on me. If I don't, do your best to celebrate as the sun comes up. What it is we built, what it is we shared, those little moments when our lives are not some careening desperate shock, but those moments where there is little, close to nothing, only a series of atoms, particles, simple and alone, lost to a threadbare universe. Thank you. I'm gonna walk over to that table over there, and I'll sell you books if you like, and Pond Hockey's gonna play in like 20 minutes. Get your earplugs ready. Again, thank you so much for coming out. Thanks to everyone who read. Thanks to Brillo Box, et cetera, et cetera. I love you all. Cheers.